to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church, or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.
Would you close your eyes? Sing that little chorus.
I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.
Friends, we have a lot of blessings from God. People give financially. We're able to pay all the expenses to do ministry, to invest in our community and missions. And sometimes that can seem to happen so easily week after week that we forget how much we need God to be our provider. We're blessed in this room. A lot of us are blessed. And because of that, we forget how much we need Him. And then we're blessed with some incredibly gifted musicians and singers and people to be involved in what we do. And if we're not careful, we can just let worship happen and we'll just experience it. And when we're done, we'll say, boy, that was great. When that was never what God wanted. At the end of a worship service, it should never be, boy, that was great. It should be, oh, God is good. Oh, God is holy. Oh, He has changed me. So I want to encourage you for a moment. Think about your life. Think about what God has done in your life. Think about, honestly, the sin in your life, the ways you've disobeyed Him. Think about the last week of your life. How many petty things have you been upset about and spoke about? How many times have I talked about a brother or sister when I shouldn't have? How many times have we, in some way, not done the thing that the Holy Spirit nudged us to do, that God told us to do, or we've not been in His Word at all? And can I encourage you to realize that we need Him? We have a script for today that we can follow. It's going to have every word we're going to say. It's going to have all the songs we're going to sing, the scripture. It's all right here. It's ready. I told the early services, the truth is, did you know that we can come in here, we can follow every bit of that, we can get you little goosebumps on your arms when we sing some songs, and Jesus doesn't even have to be here. I don't want that. I don't want my plan, because my plans are junk compared to who He is. And so what I'm asking is that God would move in power and that He would be the head worship leader, not Don, not Chris. That He would be the pastor, the shepherd of this church today, and that He would lead. And I'm asking that wherever place you're at right now, whatever circumstance in your life, if you're having a problem, a pain, a regret, if things are good, or maybe you just are lackadaisical about the gospel right now, whatever the case is, would you close your eyes? Would you stand to your feet? And would you make this your bold prayer that says, I need thee, oh, I need thee. Come on, lift it to Him. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to one more time, lift it higher. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Oh, bless me Said this before, but I want to confess it. There have been times I have sung lies in here. I have sung songs that I didn't mean. But today, this week, in this moment, I mean every word of that. God, break me. When's the last time you asked God to break your heart for what breaks His? When's the last time you asked God to mold you, to melt you, to fill you? Listen, the greatest sin of all believers, I believe, especially in America, is the sin of pride. Because we've got our acts together in a lot of ways, and we want people to see that. And God blesses, and we're very blessed in different ways. But oh, listen, we need to ask God to break us of our pride. We need to ask God to melt us of things that will not allow us to be sensitive to the Spirit's leading in the Word of God. We need to pray and ask God to mold us, to make us more like Him. So this time, would you mean that when we sing it? Would you let that be your prayer? Listen, here's the reality. It doesn't matter. It sounds beautiful. That was beautiful. But I got to tell you, I'd rather have 30 people on their knees before God right now than 250 people lifting their voice in harmony, singing Break Me, and it not mean anything. So God, start with me. Break me. Melt me. Mold me, fill me. Men, women, teenagers, senior adults, young adults, would you come get on your knees? If you can't get on your knees physically, just sit on this front row. Would you take a moment to come and let this be your altar and your prayer? Now listen, if you're not the person, the kind of person that walks down the aisle, you're exactly the kind of person that needs to walk down the aisle. Ask Him to break you of that pride. Ask Him to move in power. Sing it with me one more time. Would you come and pray? Would you come?
Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me.
Let that be your prayer, Spirit.
Father, would you move? Would you break me of my pride, of my insecurities, of my fears, my worries, my doubts? Lord, break me of my pettiness, the things that I get frustrated with others about. Lord, break me of my desire to control. I want to control every aspect of our worship service. I want it to go a certain way, flow a certain way, and I feel like that's supposed to be designed to give you the freedom to move, but the reality is I just need to stay out of the way of what you're doing. So God, would you move among us? Would you change our hearts? Lord, would you move in power in us? God, we're asking you to do what only you can do. We cannot create, we can't manufacture a feeling. We can, but it won't be genuine or lasting. So God, I'm asking that your Holy Spirit would move in our hearts. Chip away things that are not of you.
Prepare us for communion. Break our hearts for our community. Break our hearts for the world. Sing it one more time.
Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me.
Break me, let it be a prayer. Jesus' name, amen. Be seated if you will. We're skipping forward, Don, a little bit. In Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse 20, it says, when it was evening, Jesus reclined at the table with the 12. And as they were eating, he said, truly I say to you, one of you will betray me. And they were very sorrowful and began to say to him one after another, is it I, Lord? Is it I, Lord? Guys, when we read that, we immediately think about the one who it was. We all know. If you've been around church very long at all, you know it was Judas. You know it was him. He was there. They were all wondering, is it me? Will I be the one? Surely not me, but it was Judas. And can I just say to you, though, really quickly, that Judas was not the only sinner in the room. He was not the only betrayer at the table. He was not the only one who would do that. And can I say to you and to me, as we come to celebrate communion and we're going to take these elements in just a few moments, and it will be as if we are at the Lord's table together, can I just say to you, he's not the only sinner at the table either. Oh, there's you and there's me. We need the grace of God. I want to ask you to take just a moment and think about your life this week. Think about the missteps, the mishaps, the decisions you made to do something incorrectly. Take a moment. I know it's tough, but think about your own sin in your life. And think about the fact that then picture Jesus on the cross. Picture what he did for you and for me and the amazing grace that he provided for us. I need the grace of God. You need the grace of God. And Jesus provides the grace of God. I bet there's not a single song in all of Christendom that's been sung more than Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. So I want to ask you, you've sung it 1,000 times before, but today, sing it in light of your sin. Sing it in light of the cross. Sing it in light of the fact that he is the new bread. He is the blood that was spilled for us. Just worship him. The sing it together. Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found.
Tell you what you're going to be doing tomorrow, but I can tell you what they're going to be doing tomorrow. They are going to be singing the praise of the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, face to face in a way that you and I can only imagine right now. And so I want you to take just a moment and in an attitude of gratitude, be thankful for the grace of God that saved that family member of yours, that friend of yours, that spouse of yours that is already with Jesus, lifting up praise to Him. Not one of them has been there 10,000 years, but it might as well be just like a day because they are experiencing the presence of God. And so we sing together what they are experiencing. And I want you to think about it for a moment. If you've ever thought in some, and I don't mean this in some new agey, crazy kind of way, but if you've ever thought, boy, I wish I could just be with them one more time. So I think about my mother that passed away 2.5 years ago. There's not a day that goes by I don't think about her. Not a day that goes by. She was a saint. And I've often thought, if I could just tell her this, or if I could talk to her about this, or when anything good happens in my life, I know she would have been the biggest cheerleader I've ever had. And so here's the deal. I can't communicate with her right now, but here's what I know. She's in heaven praising the Lord right now. I'm on earth praising the Lord right now. To me, listen, what a blessing that we can do the same thing that the believers in heaven are doing right now, and we can lift up praise to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So do not waste a moment or a second of your breath to not give Him the glory that He is worthy of. You'll do it in perfection someday, but do the best you can right now. Let's lift it together.
When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we know best days. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now
take a moment and let's remember Jesus, the grace giver. He is grace himself. You know, what's amazing is we know him as Jesus, such a simple common name. It'd be like John of today. We know him as Jesus, but he is also our strength, our healer, our protector, our provider. Let me ask you in this moment while you're standing, who is Jesus to you today? Would you just, in a loud voice, give me some of the names of Jesus, what he's done in your life, what he's doing in your life. Who is Jesus in your life today? Who is he?
Healer.
Savior.
Keep going. Who is he?
Friend. His Majesty.
Keep going. Who is Jesus to you today?
Protector.
He's our King. He's our provider. He's Jehovah Sakenu, the Lord, our righteousness. He's our protector. Who is he for you today?
Father.
I can't think of a more appropriate name, though, than just the name Jesus. We've come to love and adore that name, as simple as it is. And the scripture says that if we call upon the name of the Lord, Jesus, we can be saved. If you're here today as we're standing and you've never given your life to Jesus, right now, I believe the scripture, if you call upon the name of Jesus, you can be saved. If you believe in what he's done for you and you receive his gift of salvation. If we repent, which says, I changed my mind, I'm not going to follow my way, I want to follow Jesus' way. You call upon the name of the Lord, you can be saved. We just speak the name of Jesus. You speak the name of Jesus and you can make people nervous. You speak the name of Jesus and you can help people be calm. You speak the name of Jesus and you can cause a riot in some parts of the world. You speak the name of Jesus and God will do a work in our lives. Isn't the name of Jesus powerful? Let's sing this song together. Just stay standing and sing with us. Isn't the name of Jesus? Let's lift it together.
Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? All the world can come to him to have their sins removed. Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful?
For there is freedom in the name. There's healing in the name. There is power in the name. Salvation in the name. There is life in the name. There is no other name but Jesus. Jesus. Yeah. There is freedom in the name. There's healing in the name. There is power in the name. Salvation. Jesus, all we need.
Yes, it is.
For isn't the name of Jesus all we need? For He's the way, the truth, the life, the only way to God. Isn't the name of Jesus all we need?
For He's the way.
He's the way, the truth, the life, the only way to God. Isn't the name of Jesus all we need?
Amen. Be seated. Jesus, Jesus, you are the one that we need. And so we take just a moment to stop and to reflect on the price that Jesus paid for us. We stop and we reflect on what the scripture says. And though we started the service by examining, let me read this verse again. 1 Corinthians 11:27 says, "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." In that passage in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul is speaking to this church where they were having love feasts, they were having fellowships, and they were doing the things that bodies of believers do. They gathered to eat together and share a meal. Someone would share truth. They would praise the Lord together, and then they would celebrate communion, the Lord's table, the Lord's supper. But from what we understand from history is that some were taking advantage of some of the others that were not able to get in line quick enough, and other people were being left out. Everyone just wasn't being treated exactly the same. And so we get this passage that tells us to examine ourselves before we take the bread, to examine ourselves before we drink the elements, to stop and to remind ourselves that what we do as we're remembering what Jesus did for us is that we want to come to Him with a pure heart. So this whole service so far has been about examining your life, and I pray that now at this moment you come ready to celebrate what God has done for us. And again, we celebrate salvation, but we don't just celebrate the fact that one day in your past, Jesus saved you, and now you're waiting for someday till you die to go to heaven. That's not what we're saying. It's that we walk in the salvation of God every day. That we walk in the power and the freedom of God every day. That His salvation was a one-time event at the cross. It was a one-time event the day you gave your life to the Lord. It is an ongoing event where He is making you new and continuing to provide grace for you every day. And it is a someday event where we will stand before him whole and complete. It is all those things at once. But I want you to know, if you have any doubt about, well, what happens to me? I might lose my salvation, or I'm not so sure that he really could save me. Listen, the scripture is clear that he holds on to us. John 10, 28 and 29 says that he holds you in his hand, and no one can snatch you out of his hand, not even yourself. That's who he is. And so not only do we celebrate that salvation happened, we celebrate that salvation continues. Is there anybody in here that, don't say it out loud, but if you were God, and we're not, it's a dangerous way to start, but if you were, you would have zapped some people and gave up on them a long time ago, right? I would have sure given up on me. I would have surely given up on me. But oh, we don't have a God who just has second chances and third chances. We have a God who gives second first times and third first times. He makes us new and holy before him. And the scripture says he casts our sin as far as the east is from the west. So if you're here today and you're struggling with feeling unworthy of your salvation, congratulations, you're unworthy of your salvation. But he is so worthy to give it. And so he's given that gift of his body. He's given that gift of his blood. And he made a way that you and I could spend eternity with him. So before we celebrate communion, would you take just a second in your own mind and heart and be thankful for your salvation? Go back to the day it happened. Some of you may struggle and may be fuzzy with that part of it, but go back to the day you gave your life to the Lord. Go back to the day when he did a powerful work in you. I was sitting in the living room of my parents' home. It was one of those rooms that nobody goes into. Anybody have a living room like that growing up? It was a room, nobody, just me. A room that you did not go into. You weren't allowed to go sit on that furniture. We had one. And it had nice furniture. And we asked the pastor to come talk to me. My parents knew I was under conviction. And so the pastor of our church, Brother John Lindsay, came to the house. And we got to sit in the living room. And not only did we get to sit in the living room, because it was such a special occasion, I made him a lemon microwave cake. They used to have microwave cakes. I made him a lemon microwave cake. And my mom let us, me and the pastor, eat cake in the fancy living room. I'll never forget that. But the cake was not important. Him coming was important to me. But I can remember him taking out his Bible and saying, Chris, we can settle all this right now. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, and he said, you're part of that world, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then he said to me, Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And he took some time to explain what that meant. And then he said, Romans 6:23, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life. And he explained what that meant. And then he said one more scripture, one more only. It was Romans 5:8, which says, but God demonstrates his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. And he said, Chris, would you like to pray and ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life and commit your ways to him? And so we got down on our knees on that carpet, facing the couch in that fancy room. And I prayed and gave my life to the Lord. That was 43 years ago. But I can remember being in the room. I can remember it happening. Now, some of you say, I don't have memories like that. I just can't remember it exactly the same. Well, let me remind you of a few things. First of all, when God saves you, he does the work. And it's our hearts bringing repentance and receiving what he has for us. He does the work, though. There's no magic words that had to have been prayed. But for those of you that can go back to that day, maybe you knelt in an altar at a church. Maybe you knelt beside your bed at home. Maybe you were outside. I don't know, but you can go back to it. Would you go back there for a moment? Just for a moment, to the day the Lord saved you. Go back to that. Since that time, how much have you sinned? It's a dangerous question. If you're like me, and you are, a lot is the answer. But oh, to know that the grace of God, the blood of Jesus, the bread of life, what he did for us back then on that day was good enough for all time. He made you new. He provided grace for you. And so would you celebrate that for a moment in your own heart? Just be thankful to God for a moment. So if you have Jesus in your life, go back to that moment and thank him for just a moment right now for what he's done. But if you're not sure you have Jesus, let me talk to you for a second. I've already told you, you can just call on him and give your life to him, but I want to give you a real opportunity to do it right now. If you're here and you're not certain you have Jesus in your life, or you're certain you don't have him in your life, and you want to change that right now, listen, there's no magic words. What we call the sinner's prayer, it does not exist in the Bible. It is a prayer that's been put together to help us understand what it means to repent. So it's not about magic words. It is truly about repenting, which is if you're walking this way, you change your mind, I want to walk that way, I'm going to turn and walk this way. It's to receive the free gift of God's salvation. And so if you're here and you've never given your life to the Lord, maybe right now in your own words, in your mind, in your heart, just say, Jesus, I need you. Forgive me. I want to follow you. He will gladly come. He will gladly bring you new life. How do I know that? Because he died for you. You're part of that world he died for. And so we celebrate that today. And I would love nothing more than for you to celebrate communion as a brand new believer. So right now, would you settle that in your mind and your heart? I encourage you to. But for all of us who know him, go back to that moment and thank him for just a moment. Don't let quietness worry you. Just thank him for his grace, for his salvation. Father God, I believe what you said in Romans when it says that we are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Thank you for making us new. Father, we believe what it says in Romans chapter 8 when it says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because the law of the Spirit of life has set men free from the law of sin and death. Listen, friends, if you're in Jesus, there's no condemnation in your life. You are in Christ Jesus. Thank you for that. Father, I thank you that I can read the truth that tells me that now I'm an adopted son of King Jesus, of the Lord, and I am a brother to King Jesus. He is an heir. He is my Savior, and we are joint heirs with him of your kingdom, is what the scripture tells us. That you can stop and realize you're a royal priesthood, a people belonging to God. There's so much to be thankful for right now. So as we move into this next song, which will be our communion song, I'll tell you when it's time you can take the bread and have it ready. But be prepared to share, be prepared to take and to eat and celebrate the body of Christ and the blood of Jesus as we sing together.
Let me reveal who I am. I'm your Savior. I will kneel down and wash all the sin from your soul. I'm your servant. I am all you need. I'm the
you drink from the cup. It is
cry worthy, we cry worthy is the Lamb of God. We cry worthy, we cry worthy, we cry worthy is the Lamb of God.
Come on, church.
Sing a song called The Goodness of God. It's going to celebrate how God has been faithful and what he's done in our life. It's going to celebrate the fact that even salvation, it was such a good and glorious thing, but he's been so good in our entire lives. So I want to, you understand, we're going to use this song as the invitation and give you an opportunity now after communion, after worship, after the scripture to respond. So if you're here and you gave your life to Jesus, as we sing this, would you come and let me know about the goodness of God in your life? Maybe you want to come and kneel and pray and just thank God for the goodness in his life. Listen, there's a lot of us that probably should get on our knees today just to be thankful. He's been so good to us. He's been so good to me. Maybe you want to unite with our church. Maybe God's doing something else. Whatever he's saying to you today, as we sing this song, would you respond? Let's sing together the goodness of God. I'll be down front. You come as God directs. Come and pray. Come, let me pray with you, whatever you need today.
Been held in your hands from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head. I will sing of the goodness of God.
Of the goodness of God, I love your.
hasn't he been good to you?
And all my life he had been so, so good. With every breath that I am in, oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God.
We sing of your goodness and your grace and your mercy. We thank you that you have given us salvation. We thank you that you've brought restoration in our lives. We thank you that in the difficult times, you are there and you are at work. So, Father, thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated if you will. You have time for one more song. We're going to do it. I want to share with you one more thing together here. Before I do, I want to announce a couple of decisions, and I'm not going to have them do anything but wave at you for just a moment here. First of all, Terrence Harden, Terrence has been attending our church now with his parents for several months, and we met this week, and he said, I want to be an official member of the church. I'm making a renewed commitment in my life to the Lord. And so, Terrence, would you wave at everybody right back there? He's right back here. Welcome, Terrence, to First Baptist Church. We're welcome to have you. And then also, I want to welcome the Fryer family. We had the senior Fryer family already, but then their children, Clint and Kristen Fryer, and then their children, Breland, Kaylin, and Preslin. And for Breland and Kaylin, Clint and Kristen, all know the Lord, walked with him. And for Preslin, we're so thankful that she's here. We're thankful for their family. You pray for them. They come from a sister church saying they want to unite with our church. Would you guys wave at everybody over here? All right, they're right down front. We're thankful to have them. Very thankful. And we're thankful that God continues to send men and women, boys and girls, that we can together do the things he's called us to in our community and in the world. That everyone that's coming is coming to serve King Jesus. And we're thankful for that. And we're excited for that. I want to end in this way with you, in this song with you. When we have communion, I believe it always requires a response, and it always points to a day to come. It says in the scripture, he tells us very specifically in Luke chapter 22, listen to these words. It says, and when the hour came, Jesus reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat the Passover with you before I suffer. Now remember, they didn't understand what that meant yet. He said, for I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. Now listen to this line. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And we skip on down to some scripture that's in the book of Luke. And if you make your way all the way to the book of Revelation, we get this picture of the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's an opportunity we'll have to be in communion with God as the bride of Christ, as the body of Christ, and we'll celebrate that again. And so we look forward to the day when we will not only share communion to remember Jesus, but that he will celebrate it with us anew. Listen to these words, Revelation 19, beginning in verse 6. John's vision says this, then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, "Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride," that's us, "the bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints." And the angel said to me, "Write this down. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are the true words of God." And so we will celebrate the marriage supper of the Lamb. It won't be like the Last Supper. It'll be the new supper. It will be what he is doing in our lives. And so we celebrate together, "Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God." We sing this together as a way to look forward to what is coming on that day. So we invite you to sing with us. We invite you at some point to join in and listen to these words. See what God is doing among us. And we're thankful for that. You picture what's to come in that day.
Cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. Body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit us at www.albertvillefbc.church. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.